This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Frequently on this show, I talk about my personal life, including my three sons. And in particular, I talk about my youngest son, Quentin, frequently. Quentin, and we're going to come upon and not have Rare Disease Day, by the way. Rare Disease Day was scheduled to be the 28th. For some reason, it was canceled. That's an awful decision. And we're still going to talk about Rare Disease Day on Monday. Our friend Lindsey Gentzel is going to join us, and I'll probably talk about Quentin on Monday regarding what should have been Rare Disease Day on Saturday. My son has DIRC1A. It is a rare condition. The numbers have increased significantly, but it's still less than 1,000 individuals on the planet have DIRC1A. And among the places that we found for Quentin, which provided him amazing help, amazing tutoring and teaching and guidance and leadership and compassion and intelligence, was St. David's Center. St. David's Center, made up of angels. And the help they provide families and kids is truly remarkable. And even though Quentin no longer attends St. David's, I make an attempt to donate to St. David's on a regular basis. My father absolutely loves St. David's. And I still receive information from St. David's. And we're going to bring in Julie Shordahl, who is in charge of St. David's. And she's an angel in particular self. She's provided 35 years of service to St. David's, and I get emails from St. David's, and I was drawn to one yesterday because I knew we were going to have a budget vote in the House, with the House and the Senate run by Republican leadership and the president wanting to continue his tax cuts. And so in trying to financially justify the continuation of the Trump tax cuts, cuts are being offered up, including the House bill regarding Medicaid, cuts of close to $900 billion. This is a federal commitment to states, putting an enormous onus on states to step forward. And then many of these states don't have the money to cover this. And how does this affect so many people across the landscape, including those individuals who receive various levels of assistance through Medicaid? Kids like my son, paras who help out, teachers who help out. And this is a group, and I try to raise light to it. One, because I talk about my personal life. Two, we just don't talk about it. The number of individuals who have some sort of health challenge, some sort of disability, and they are swept away too often. And places like St. David's and individuals like Julie Shordahl, they don't let that happen. And so when we have a bill like this pass, I thought, let's have Julie on and talk about how this could affect kids and individuals and young adults and adults who receive help through Medicaid. Julie's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Julie, it's been a long time. I'm glad I have a chance to chat with you again. Thank you so much for, as the email points out, your astounding work with St. David's. What is your gravest concern about if these Medicaid cuts hold up through a Senate bill, a combined bill, and the president signs them? What concerns you most about this when you think about the families, the kids, the adults that you touch at St. David's?
Thank you, Chad. I really appreciate you having me on and your dedication to giving voice to our most vulnerable citizens in Minnesota and the needs of children, families, and adults with special needs. And our concerns run deep. You think about what Medicaid provides for our communities. Just want to grab a quote from Focus on Children. Budgets are moral documents reflecting our priorities as a nation. And we have made a commitment over decades as a nation to say that we are going to offer safety net services and health care to our most vulnerable citizens, to people with disabilities, to children with mental health needs, to families who are low income and need a hand up for some time in their life. That this is our safety net, and it provides everything from one-on-one care for adults with disabilities. So you think about a person who's had a spinal cord injury, and what do they need to get out of bed in the morning? They need a human who is paid for by Medicaid to show up and help them with their personal cares, help them get out the door so that they can have a thriving life in spite of that injury. It's adults with developmental, long-term developmental disabilities who are, 25 years old and living on their own, maybe in an apartment, but need some staffing support. And we've been super innovative as a state about how we support adults with disabilities using Medicaid as a funding source to innovatively and as a funding source to help them. And, so it's just this whole range of services for adults with disabilities. But I think it's maybe not a known fact that in Minnesota, 1 in 3 people with disabilities use Medicaid to cover their very basic need support. And 3 in 10 children lean on Medicaid for things like pediatric developmental services to give them a strong start in the early years, whether it's they have some developmental delays or on the autism spectrum or have significant mental health needs because of what they've faced in their early life. Our services, St. David Center, has a range of services that address their needs as early as possible in those 0 to 8 years so that we can set them on a path to success and show up for school ready to learn and with having addressed some of those deep end developmental and mental health needs that would otherwise cost us, thousands of dollars as a community in special ed costs or in long-term outcomes. It's both this, what concerns us as a community of service providers is it's both a short-term problem that we're going to face and it's a long-term cost problem. We might save money for tax cuts right now, but we will not save money in the long term. We will pay for it as a society in the long term, whether it's emergency room visits and charitable care, or it's long-term health and mental health services, or special ed costs. It is so deeply concerning, Chad.
This is Julie Shordahl. She's the CEO of St. David's. She's talking about how if these Medicaid cuts, which were approved by the House last night, you're going to have to see what happens with the Senate because they have very differing bills. If these cuts come together, they would be signed by the president. The president's top priority, his tax cuts. He wants to continue those. And how this would affect Medicaid. The bill the House passed is $880 billion. Julie, I'm just going to look at one of the recent emails from St. David's Center where you were talking about data. I'll just add this. Your organization, and this is zero exaggeration, has helped tens of thousands of kids over the decades and decades St. David's has been around who needed that early intervention. And as you point out, at St. David's, this remarkable place, 60% of the families access assessment, mental health, autism treatment, pediatric therapies, and support services through Medicaid. That isn't dramatically different from other like-minded centers in Minnesota and all across this country who may not be as amazing as your place, but might be right with you. I don't know. And if we start taking 60% of these individuals all across the country, I don't think most people have any idea how damaging that might be.
Yeah, I totally agree, Chad. You know, if folks could sit at the other end of our central intake line on a daily basis and listen to the stories that families tell and the desperate need they have for support when their children are struggling in those early years and they're trying to find answers, and they call and say things like, my child's been kicked out of three other child care centers. And, you know, not because the child care centers want to be cruel, it's them simply saying, we don't have the skills or the tools to help your child in this center. You need special intervention. This child needs occupational or speech therapy. They might have a mental health need because of, you know, the things they have faced in their lives. And they're just, you know, their behavior is such that they're just communicating, I need help. And so, you know, your child's kicked out of three child care centers. You know they have a developmental need and or mental health need, perhaps they're on the autism spectrum. And you're wondering, what am I going to do now? And now the organizations that family who has Medicaid as their health insurance funder, we would not, if these bills go through and eligibility changes or coverage changes, we wouldn't be able to serve that child. And that those families are going to just kind of, you know, they're not going to be able to show up for work. They're going to struggle to continue to parent effectively. And those kids then show up for kindergarten really distressed after, you know, a series of failures and struggle in their early years that go unaddressed.
The last thing, and I really appreciate your time, Julie, and I just can't thank you enough for the amazing work you've been doing for 35 years, for a number of years now as the CEO out at St. David's. Some of the outrage of this is bipartisan, too, including in the state. Bravo to the more than dozen Republican state legislators who reach out to Republicans, including Tom Emmer, and caution them greatly about these federal cuts. The letter signed by six GOP state senators and eight Republicans in the Minnesota House said this: just to emphasize what you already know, Medicaid includes services and care for seniors, those with disabilities, not just health care for the poor. Additionally, nearly 50% of all Medicaid enrollees are children. This is all across the board. Julie, so are you heartened a little bit when you hear the strong pushback from individuals across party lines trying to slow down the bill, which did pass the House last night?
I am, Chad. That I just want to thank Senator Abler for his leadership in galvanizing his colleagues to say we need to stand strong and we need to make a statement to our president and the Minnesota delegation in the House. It was a beautifully strong letter just communicating how devastating these kind of cuts will be to citizens in the state of Minnesota. And it is so encouraging when you see that kind of bipartisan resolve to say we have a moral obligation as a community of leaders to say we are going to stand for people with disabilities, children with developmental needs, and the elderly, and we are not going to cut their, we should not cut their services on behalf of tax cuts. that was such a beautiful and brave letter, and I am grateful for that kind of leadership.
I am too. Julie, thank you again for what you do. I appreciate coming on, and keep fighting the fight.
Thank you so much, Chad. So appreciate you.
35 years at St. David Center helping out individuals. This is a frequent texter, and this is a texter who in this case is just lying. This is just a lie. There will be no Medicaid or Medicare cuts, but go ahead and do a show about something that is a fake story. Check your facts. It's not in the bill. It is 1,000% in the bill. 1,000%. It has been discussed endlessly. I am all for cutting the bloating of excessive government programs. How about surgically? How about not bludgeoning, not with a cannon? If the Trump tax cuts benefits, can I tell you one person who's going to benefit from them? That's me. I'll benefit. We're really going to say, and by the way, I'm not one who just always says, tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I think that's lazy. I think it's too convenient. I think, in fact, Minnesota is an overtaxed state. I've said that before. But Donald Trump, and when he was in the first term talking about making changes to our taxes and other cut in the right manner, I thought that made sense. I really did, because our tax system is flawed. But it benefited people at the higher end. It just did. And so now we're going to make changes that are going to affect people with disabilities. That's, by the way, Governor Walz is offering up some cuts also. So not to the level of the bill passed in the House, don't get me wrong. But he can't wrap himself in glory either. This is shameful. Because of a speck of a chromosome that individuals have, DIRC1A, they have Down syndrome, they have an undiagnosed illness, and they're 2 or they're 12 or they're 32 or they're 42. And so much of our society, you know what they do? They stick their head in the sand and they might say a sweet comment, but we're not willing to help out. Am I in a position where Quentin can get by? Yeah. But does he benefit from this? Yes. Will we figure out a way if these cuts happen? Yes, but many, many millions of people in this country won't. And there's time for decency. There's time for cuts. There's time to slow down excess. I'm all for it. But here, this is where we're drawing the line? Really? 651-461-9226.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of texts coming in. Let's go to a phone call also. Benjamin, thank you for listening. Go ahead, sir. You're on WCCO.
Yes. Well, I love your show, of course, as always. But it's really, really simple. Once again, we're looking on the wrong end. Everyone in the Republican Party, not just the Republicans, Democrats, we always look at the bottom rung. Oh, what can we cut off from social services? I can save us $6 billion in about 3 seconds. All we have to do is cut off all the subsidies to Elon Musk. His companies alone ate $6 billion. The richest man in the world is getting $6 billion from United States taxpayers. Why? It makes no sense. But they don't look
in
here.
Can I add to this, Benjamin? Let me just add a number, and then you can jump back in. There's a Washington Post story today suggesting that Elon, over the decades, has received $38 billion in direct and indirect benefits from the government. Think about that number.
Yeah.
Just astronomical.
That $6 billion figure is just last year alone. You know, and we subsidize the oil industries that are raking in record profits. Why are we doing that? We subsidize, for goodness sake, we subsidize McDonald's, one of the biggest franchises in the entire country, and our tax money is giving them gifts. Why are we doing this? That's where the real waste, fraud, and corruption is. They will look everywhere but in the mirror, to quote, you know, Taylor Swift.
Benjamin, good call. Appreciate it. And again, I want to be clear on this. I'm going to say this again. I'm not blaming successful individuals who either came up with their own idea, they were successful in an established business, whatever they might have done. For me, it's not always, we got to tax everybody at an extraordinarily high rate. But sometimes we need to make a decision. And I think we can have more of a fair conversation on Social Security, and because of the health of many of us and age requirements and work requirements and potentially raising ages, and even on a percentage of it where you get to invest it. That's my personal view. Now, some with the jobs they've lived, they should be getting that money at the exact same age. So I don't want to take it away from those. But there are ways where we can look. But I'm sorry. And yes, it is heightened for me because of this angel in my life, my youngest son. I'm sorry. When we're talking about where we have so underfunded kids, young adults, and adults with disabilities, that we're going to hit it further because of high-end tax cuts? Come on. I mean, there's just some level of decency. And again, I'm not the boogeyman. Oh, the wealthy's terrible. They're not. But on this one, this cannot happen. Period. Simple as this. Cannot happen. Among the attacks coming in, I'm a parent with a child who has extreme disabilities and benefits from Medicaid assistance, as I do from dealing with post-traumatic distress disorder. Don't tell me we're a Christian nation who cannot help people that are the least of these who need it. I absolutely cannot believe that people vote for the Republicans who are going to vote for this bill, knowing that half of the people they're cutting our children. How are they going to look those people in the faces? It's pathetic. I'm not blaming every Republican either. On this one, though, when you're afraid of dear leader, when you're so afraid of upsetting Donald Trump, then you're spineless. And by the way, I know there are Democrats who, whether it's unions or whether it might be, where they follow that line constantly also. But come on, it's very obvious. If you stand up to Trump now, my God, you get death threats, you're ostracized, you're not a part of the family, you're not a part of the Republican Party, you're basically doomed. I mean, do you really think Republicans would have voted for RFK Jr. or Tulsi Gabbard or Kash Patel? If those were anonymous ballots, I could help you out. No, because there are many other people who either supported Republican ideas or who are Republicans who are qualified. But it's Trump-driven and you're afraid of it. And that's what's going on. So let's look at size of government, but let's look at ways when we can do it without attacking the most vulnerable individuals in our society. And I'm giving credit to the Republicans in the state, but let's also point out that on the Medicaid issue, most, if not all, the Democrats are right there all the time on this issue. Did they go far? Go too far during the trifecta? Hell yeah. And by the way, as I said before, Walz is also cutting in this area. And I've had many conversations over the years with differing governors, and they talk a big game about continuing to help out those with disabilities. And more often than not, they don't live up to it. And that is shameful. Different topic when we come back after traffic and weather on CCO. Dave, remind folks why this is our music theme today.
Well, the theme is, who do you think you are? Because, we and I think the rest of the human population today are celebrating one of, if not the greatest moment in not just bowling history, but sports history in general. You would agree with that, right? I'm sure.
How about society's history?
Can we go that far? Society's history when Pete Weber gave us this.
A strike to claim it. And he got it!
That is why I said that's another five. Are you kidding me? That's right. Who do you think you are? I am.
It's just so good. I mean, I think I've heard it 80 times, and I laugh every time. Who do you think you are? I am. Just work that in often, ladies and gentlemen, later today. Meet Minneapolis. We've joked about Meet Minneapolis forever, Dave. Meet Minneapolis has a tendency to exaggerate money and numbers. They do some very good things. I'm not dismissing everything, but I mean, if we have an event that comes to town, Meet Minneapolis will tell us that brought in $74 billion.
Who says they're wrong?
Yeah.
Do you do the math?
Or, yeah, I don't have it right here. Or if there's a Taylor Swift concert, really, there are actually 5 million people downtown for the concert. So we've got another idea for downtown Minneapolis. Do we get one once a week? What's your guess?
I think that's about right.
Yeah.
It's fair. One a week. They're usually gems, so let's hear this one.
So this has just come out in the last couple hours. They want the city to be known for vibrant nightlife, bustling riverfront, modernized convention center.
Well, sound good.
As a women's sports epicenter and a social justice capital. Should we just take them one by one?
Go ahead. Bullet point them, Chad.
Let's go. Let's wizard point. Vibrant nightlife.
Yes.
I'm in. Let's vibrant it up.
Yes. Who doesn't love vibrancy in their nightlife?
I mean, yeah. I might call myself vibrant from now on.
Rather you do.
North Loop, vibrant. Extraordinarily vibrant. The downtown East area, getting more vibrant by the day. The core of downtown Minneapolis, not very vibrant. Not very vibrant. Still more areas than pre-pandemic where there were crime issues, but for many of the folks who live in Lakeville and act like, you know, you get shot at 11:30 every day, 11:30 a.m. every day, that's utterly ridiculous. But North Loop is phenomenal. We need to get more areas than North Loop. Bustling
Riverfront. I think this is an extraordinarily valid point. Right, Dave? We in downtown Minneapolis, like we're the chief deciders, why don't we have more restaurants and more? Are we having that amphitheater? Was that Boom Island area? Whatever. It seems like we've had about 700 amphitheaters discussed in Minnesota since I moved back in 1990. And about two of them ever come to fruition. But don't you think that is fair? That if you go up and down either the downtown side or more of the northeast side or the north side of Minneapolis, we don't have enough on the river itself.
I think that's very true. I think it's a very, very valid point that, and especially downtown, kind of just turns its back on the river, doesn't it?
And why is that? I mean, how have we screwed this up for so long? A modernized convention center. The convention center is enormous. Seems like whether it's for work or something else, I'll get over there maybe once every 18 months. Seems to function. I just don't know how different the convention center needs to be. Do you?
I don't know how you modernize it. Is it, you know, more signage and electronics and things like that?
They added to increase its competitive advantage and create a signature convention center district.
We need a district.
What? We need a convention center district? And part of the river situation, they added improved connections to the central riverfront near the post office site and the upper lock and dam. Those are cool sites. I used to live there. When I first moved back, River West Apartments, they're now condos. I live right there, and I loved it. But now we have, why am I forgetting, is Owamne?
Owamne.
Yes, exactly. You have that great restaurant there, and you have some when we get down to the Guthrie, but not nearly enough. The convention center and its district, I'm a little dubious of that. Women's sports epicenter. Okay. If we can find a way to host more women's events, which will bring people down, all for it. You know, are they suggesting we take on Indianapolis, right? Indianapolis forever, by the way. Indianapolis, not as great as most people say. But they get everything. Do we want to challenge the Indianapolises of the world? Well, part of how we'll do that, Dave, is we got to figure out what the arena situation is, because Target Center isn't that great. And it doesn't compare with the revenue sources, which a number of other cities have with more modern arenas. U.S. Bank, Armory, other ways where you can have concerts and events, sure, but you got to figure out what you're going to do with Target Center. Don't you think that would be an enormous part to make it more of an epicenter?
Sure, that would help, but the good news is it's about to be surrounded by vibrant nightlife. So sure. You got that going sure. For you.
And then develop a signature event that showcases Minneapolis's commitment to social justice. Is somebody trying to convince me that Minneapolis, in particular downtown Minneapolis, hasn't been committed to social justice? Like the Republicans or those who push back on social justice, have they dominated the power structure of politics in the city of Minneapolis? Have I missed that somehow?
It was in the pamphlet earlier. You must have not seen it.
We can't decide what to do with George Floyd Square almost 5 years after he was murdered. How are we going to come up with a signature event with further commitment to social justice.
Well, maybe that's just it. Maybe that's the signature event. Every year we bring in more people to throw up a new idea that we can kick around.
Yeah, we're good at kicking, aren't we?
Yeah, we can kick around. We can kick it down the path. Kick the can. We kick.
We are the messies of kicking the can and debating. So, again, let's get another play on Minneapolis. How about we try a couple of these things? Can we do that?
No. We need to discuss it, Chad, and then we can all have a vote to vote on it later.
We have plenty of people living downtown. That's not the issue. We need the safety to continue to improve. We need some people to stop lying about the facts. Some people to understand the perception of it's a shootout every single day is utterly ridiculous, but also acknowledge that we don't have enough police officers and we still have too many troubling stories which can cause objective, fair-minded people to have hesitation. What do you want to say? What do you think is the best idea to bring, how about this, Dave, not just a vibrant nightlife, but some vibrancy to the overall city? Because it's not going to be workers coming back in large numbers, because that's not happening. And you're going to have a lot of office buildings that are going to be sold for nothing and are going under, and you got to figure out what to do with those buildings, and that's a huge issue. On the Minneapolis topic, what do you want to say? 651-461-9226. Here he is, the new czar of every single plan that has been offered up for the city of Minneapolis, Jason DeRussia.
Well, as a downtown resident, you know, I have standing here.
Do you have to pay for it to be counted as a downtown resident?
I have an address, so that's better than a lot of the goons who've been running for office lately, right?
I don't think we use the word goons.
Goons?
Enough.
I'm trying to bring it back, you know.
Yeah, because I often go with buffoons.
Yeah,
that
that's
case.
Good. I like that.
And I like it. But goons works, you know. I don't, you know, you got to use it judiciously, but it applies. Okay, which part of this plan excites you most, sir?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm just, how wonderful to be like a woke hub. What a great idea. Yes. Let's do it.
That's going to bring the Lakeville suburbia folks back, don't you think?
Maybe
more woke?
I don't know. Like women's sports hub? Fine. That's fine. You know. Do we have to pretend that we love women's sports? Is that the deal? Is that where we're at now?
Wow.
Is that what we're doing?
Is this your lead item? 307, Jason DeRussia says, get back in the kitchen. Is that your lead?
I just don't care about the professional hockey. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of sports.
You can only watch so many sports, you know?
Yeah.
I'm good.
There are plenty of male sports I don't care that much about
Same.
Either. Right. We have quite a few women's sports events already. We just had the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
But establishing us as the number one city for women's sports... Good idea, right? Because bringing events in, we got to bring events in. And if you can get people to visit and stay in hotels and then they go out to eat, like that's good, good, good. Very good. So it's a good idea. And there's an opening, you know? Like who else is your competitor there? Like I think that's a good idea. You have to think a little bit about what other cities are doing. Like for a long time, I was saying we need to beat the drum a little better about how good our restaurant scene is. I think the moment is past. Every mid-sized city has a good restaurant scene.
I think that's fair. And as I said in the last segment on women's sports, when you have an arena that they started building in 1989 and doesn't have the same revenue sources, you are competing for revenue. That's just a fact.
Yep.
And Target Center doesn't have that. And just on the social justice side, downtown Minneapolis and social justice, or the city of Minneapolis and social justice, is discussed almost every day.
Well, if you're,
where are we?
If you're
going to
embrace us as the catalyst, like, shouldn't we actually have to do something? Like, so far, we're the catalyst for, like, action. Did we start the modern civil rights movement by killing a man? Like, what is, I guess, like, what are we claiming here?
Yeah.
But if you want to build a civil rights museum or do something like that, I don't know. Like, maybe that makes
sense. Sure. That's fine. How about we figure out the third precinct and George Floyd Square, where we actually build something before the year 2035. That's honestly my over-under.
I mean, I'll be honest. Our reputation as it relates to social justice is a reputation of absolute dysfunction and failure. So, I don't know.
Maybe the
hope is over the next decade we'll do some things and then we can hang our hat on it. But I don't know.
The individuals who used to come downtown more often, the idea that we're going to delve in more social justice, that's not bringing them down more. That's my opinion. And I think it's borderline a fact, don't you?
I think the only question is, could we be a draw? And I don't know. I'm open, but sound a little skeptical.
Do we have all the money for this just laying around, too? Did I miss that?
Well, you know, I mean, a 10-year plan should be aspirational. I guess I wouldn't get too worried about that.
Well, everything in the city of Minneapolis is a 10-year plan. That's one of the benefits.
That's true.
Jason is next. Stay tuned. Next 3 hours here on CCO.